If you're staring at a fresh homeschool year with that knot in your stomach about all the things that need to get done this year, or maybe you're already a few weeks in and wondering how you can possibly be behind already, this episode is for you. I want to let you in on a little something that took me way too long to learn. The secret of not feeling behind isn't about doing more. You've probably heard that before. It's not about color coding your plans or tracking down the perfect curriculum. I know I thought those things too. If I only had the perfect curriculum, we could stay on top of things. If it perfectly matched my child's learning style, which is a myth, by the way. If I only made the right plans, certainly we could stay ahead of the game. None of those things worked. The secret I found and still find, even though I'm finished homeschooling my daughters, this is just a life hack too, and it applies to homeschooling perfectly. The secret is adding margin. In this episode, I'm going to show you four simple ways to build margin into your days so that instead of rushing and second guessing, you're going to have breathing room to actually enjoy the homeschooling experience. And you need it more than ever during these middle school years. Welcome to Tween Talk Voice Notes. I'm Marina Joy, a homeschool mom turned mentor for families in those messy, wonderful middle school years. So, if that is you, you are in the right place. I share stories and frameworks and small shifts that help you feel confident so that you can facilitate learning for your tween without burning out, without second guessing, without losing that joy of learning together, even in the hard times. So, let's get right into it. We've got four strategies for adding margin to your homeschool day. Number one, create a stop doing list. If you're like me, you have to-do lists. You probably have to-do lists about to-do lists. So this is something completely different. This is a stop doing list. This is the permission to remove things from your schedule. So when you're already feeling like you're falling behind, the idea of doing less seems counterintuitive. You think, no, but you don't understand. There's all these things I need to be doing. If I remove stuff, how is that going to get me on track? And that's a fair question. The thing is, not everything on your plate is actually necessary for helping your kids learn. I know. That's a hard point. Not everything is necessary. I bet there's busy work in there. And I do not say that as judgment. I have been guilty of this too. Thinking that the more we do, the better. That it's a status thing, even though you're not going to say it's a status thing. Like, let's be real, nobody goes around saying that. But is everything that you have your kid doing this year necessary? Do they need to do every single question in the book? Or is some of that busy work? Do they need to do all of the crafty kinds of projects that the curriculum outlines? Maybe not. Sometimes, things that you did during the elementary years still creep into what you think needs to happen in the middle school years. And while your tween is not an adult, and you shouldn't treat them as such. They're between. So they're not a kid, and they're not an adult, and they're not a teen. They're just in this stuck in between stage. So, yes, we want some stuff in there that might feel busy-ish and fun, But does it all need to be in there? Does it serve the bigger goal? What is their goal? Put it through that filter. If it doesn't help them on the way to that goal in some way, put it on the stop doing list. Because everything you say yes to means you're saying no to something else. So what can you say no to that will open up opportunities for you to say yes to the things you actually want to say yes to? All right, so that's about creating a stop doing list. And when you do, it will open up some margin, some space, and you're not always going to feel like you're running behind. Number two, build in transition time. This is a struggle. I have seen so many schedules, and I have been guilty of creating this kind of schedule for my kids, for myself. Maybe you have too. It's likely that you have done this too. And that's okay. It's normal. So we have, you know, math, 9 till 9:30. Then we have writing, 9:30 till 10. And then we have social studies, 10 till 10:30. And there's no time to breathe. But we think, oh, we've got to fit all of these things in. Therefore, I need to have a packed schedule. And you get in and, you know, it might be the first week and you already feel behind, because realistically, we don't function like that. We can't just end math at 9:30 and start writing at 9:30. There has to be a pause. I heard it once that it's kind of like your brain has all of this stuff. Say they were doing math 9 to 9:30. They were doing all of this math and their brain is in math gear. And then in order to switch gears, there needs to be time for sort of the residue of the math thinking to leave, so that they can start fresh with thinking about the writing, and they need space for that reset. Think about it. You probably do too. I know I do. And it could be 10 minutes. It could be up to 30 minutes, depending on the complexity, the difficulty of the task that they were just finishing. Like, were they doing some deep thinking and now they have to totally switch tracks? It'll take a bit. They need to go to the washroom. They need to grab a drink. Maybe they need to grab a snack. They need to talk to you. They need to give you a hug. Whatever the case, they need a little bit of transition time. And while it might feel like, oh my goodness, we're spending, you know, 2 hours of the day just in transitions, the thing is, you are spending at least 2 hours a day in transitions. You just haven't accounted for it, which is why it feels like you're behind. So instead, I encourage you to say, okay, so if we're doing math from 9 till 9:30, then writing starts at 9:45. Try that. See what happens. But then actually stop the math at 9:30. Don't let it bleed into that break, because then you're on the same hamster wheel of being behind. So build in transition time. See what happens. See how it brings down the stress in your household. It brings in the calm and things seem less frantic. I will admit, this is hard to do. So if you're struggling with it, that's normal. 100% normal. And the days when you can let yourself have those transition times, notice the different atmosphere in your home. Okay, number three, plan for your worst days. Plan for your worst days. So if you only make a plan that is geared for the best day when everybody is on their A game and everybody has had enough sleep and they are feeling great, you're probably going to feel behind relatively quickly. However, if you plan your schedule or your flow or your routine so that you can do that routine, that schedule, even when everybody's having kind of an off day, then no matter what, you're not going to be behind. Because on the worst day, you're going to get your work done. And on the best day, you're going to get your work done. It'll probably just be better quality work. But both days, you're going to get it done. And you've built in margin by planning for that worst day. And if there's extra time in the day, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. The fourth strategy is look ahead with intention. So I know that we have had a calendar on our fridge forever. I don't know, maybe you have one of those Mother's World huge calendar with the big blocks, and it is the life organizer. So you can see what is coming up. And if you don't look at the calendar and you go through your week and then the following week you realize, oh, we're gone 2 days for appointments. And then all of a sudden you start feeling behind because you haven't accounted for it. So there's two ways that you can deal with this kind of thing. Number one is do a little extra in the days leading up to that, as long as it doesn't become like every week we're doing a little bit extra. Then you might want to look and say, oh, are we trying to do too much? Because that's going to eat up your margin. But if it's once in a while, you know, once a month, you have appointments on a certain week, you're like, okay, we have goals. We want to achieve these goals. In order to do that, we need to do a little extra in the days leading up to that. And you get everybody on board and you let your tween know, okay, we're doing our regular schedule. And then because we have appointments and we're going to be out for the day next week, every day this week, we're just going to do a little bit extra. Or one day, we're going to do a longer day. Whatever you decide. And you plan that. It's not like the day just continues to get longer and longer, you know, creeping in with extra things that you need to do. Or secondly, extend the deadlines. Give yourself permission to adjust. So if you said, you know what, we're going to have this whole section done by December 10th, then say, well, you know what? We're not going to try to cram more stuff in because then people just get tired and irritable. It's not worth it. So instead of December 10th, we're going to give ourselves till the 15th. In the big scheme of things, does it matter? No. Now, if you're extending deadlines regularly, then again, you need to look at it and say, are the deadlines unreasonable? But either way, you're building in margin, which keeps you from living in this constant state of catching up. And your kids will be more relaxed because they'll know, okay, when we're done this schedule, then I have time to do things that I would like to do. Or I have time to actually finish my chores. You know, not that they're super excited about that, but it's not a rush for everything because we have margin, we have time accounted for all of the things. I know for me, sometimes margin feels like wasted time. You know, when you show up early for an appointment and you think, I could have slept in another 10 minutes. The problem is, if you slept in 10 minutes, you'd probably be late. So while it feels like wasted time on the surface, it's actually allowing you to have this steady pace that gets you to the finish line without being frantic. I know in that book, Good to Great by Jim Collins, He talks about the explorers, and they are on this trek, and they have a goal in mind. One team marches 20 miles every day, no matter the conditions, whether they feel good, they feel bad, doesn't matter. They are going. The other team, or the other group of explorers, some days they went 30 miles, some days they went 10 miles, some days, whatever they felt like on that particular day. Well, it was the explorers that marched 20 miles every single day, no matter the conditions, that made it to that finish line before the other team. So sometimes it feels like, other kids are ahead of your kids, or, oh, they're going through the curriculum faster. All of these things where we make comparisons, it's really hard not to compare. But think about this 20-mile march and just keep it in your head. We're just doing a 20-mile march. We have a goal in mind. We're just doing 20 miles a day, and we're going to get there. Slow and steady wins the race. Homeschooling is that 20-mile march. The margin helps you keep that pace sustainable, even when life throws you curveballs and it feels unpredictable. So here's my challenge for you. What would your homeschool year look like if you planned with margin in mind? I know you've probably planned your homeschool year already. Very likely. You might be starting it already. You might be a couple weeks in. If you look at it, is there margin? And if not, what could you put on your stop doing list? Where could you put in transition times? How could you plan around what's really happening in your life instead of just planning for the best days? Give yourself the gift of margin. Your sanity, your child's love of learning, they will thank you. That's it for today's episode. I hope you found it helpful. And if so, please be sure to subscribe if you haven't already to the Tween Talk newsletter, tweentalk.co/newsletter. You'll get regular tips and encouragement for homeschooling your middle school tween. Thanks again for joining me on Tween Talk Voice Notes. I'm Marina Joy. Until next time, have a great week. Bye for now.